All right, Mike Johnson will join us here in about 5 minutes. Confirm or deny at 5:30. We can't confirm. We're moving confirm or deny around because David Faraday will join us in an hour. We're looking forward to catching up with him. He'll be in Toronto in June. He'll be in Ottawa in June as well. So we'll tell you about that and how you might have a chance to go see David and a bunch of really special guests coming up here through Toronto. So nice. He'll join us in about an hour. The Leafs, I'm sure, on their way down to New York, probably in the air right now. They're playing the Rangers tomorrow night at the Garden. And Jake Muzzin is out with a concussion. So he did not make the trip. And
yeah, he got hit pretty hard the other
night. He
got
hit hard the other night. Yeah. They isolated it during the telecast, and they were like, he doesn't look so great. You know, he turned the puck over. He looked a little wobbly. For sure.
Well, he missed it behind the net, and then he kind of went back to get it, I think, and that's where he got dung.
Yeah.
So he's
that's
out.
Not good. That's not good for him because he's, you know, he's been struggling to get into a groove, and him and Hall have been kind of off kilter kind of all season long, to be honest, you know. And you hope that he gets right. They give him the time to get right, and then, you know, you're going to need him down the stretch because he's a unique defenseman for them back there because he plays a certain way. And when he's on his game, he's hard to play against. He's heavy. He's mean. He's physical. Like, that's playoff type of hockey. They need Muzzin at his best, so they better make sure that he's managed properly. And they will.
I mean, they will. And Justin doctors. Hall's still out with COVID protocols with Kasha and Richie. So Hall and Muzzin not in New York, won't be playing the Rangers tomorrow night. So that's going to mean more ice time for Sandin, more ice time for Liljegren, more for Dermott, and Biega, I think, will go into the lineup tomorrow night. So it's going to be a challenge because the Rangers have been really good. You know, they've been very good. Their goaltending's been outstanding all year, and it's going to have somewhat of a playoff atmosphere, I'm sure, because both teams, as it currently stands, are going to the playoffs, and the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. I think the Rangers will hold on. I don't see another team in that division catching up to the four guys, the four big boys who are currently in. So it'll be a fun one tomorrow night, and there's a lot going on in hockey. We'll get back into the Leon Draisaitl, Jim Matheson thing here in a moment with Mike Johnson. But the Habs have named their GM, and it's quicker than I thought it was going to be.
What are you talking about, dude? Like, we're talking about Gorton going in there beginning in November?
Yeah, a couple months now.
Yeah, it's I guess so. I guess my point is Kent Hughes got the job. Is Gorton is the one running everything. Yeah. So if you need to wait till the end of the season to hire GM, like I was kind of expecting that. I wasn't under some impression that it had to be between now and the trade deadline. I'm sure that's beneficial. And clearly Gorton was working under that timeline. Or he had Hughes in mind, and once Hughes said, I'm willing to take the job, then it was his job.
Yeah, and I like the hire because it's not a flashy person. It's not Patrick Waugh. You know, all the speculation of Waugh or Danny Briere or Roberto Luongo. Like, to me, those would be noisy hires. Kent Hughes, you ask any random hockey fan, they wouldn't know who he was.
No.
Right? Like, he's a guy really respected and known as a smart guy, obviously, from Quebec. So he speaks the language, which is, you know, a prerequisite, but it's not this big splashy, hey, we're bringing back this guy, or we're
and
doing
I give
that.
Gorton a ton of credit for that, because it easily could have been Patrick Waugh and Danny Briere, president and GM, and they both have that kind of sexy French name, and I got nothing against the sexy French name, so I think Patrick Waugh would have been fascinating for guys like us that cover the sport and to have quotes, but I think Molson just said, I want to get two good hockey people in there, and I think that's what he did. I give him credit for those two hires.
Yeah, Kent Hughes is a longstanding agent. He's been living down in Boston for about 20 years, but he's from Montreal. He's bilingual. Yeah. And I think this just points to what we've already known and what we've always known. Jeff Gorton is running everything, and he wants someone in there that's going to, I'm sure, poke and prod and push, and I don't think Kent Hughes is going to see every player and every transaction and every acquisition the same way that Gorton will. But Gorton was not going to put himself in a position where he was going to be overshadowed or there was going to be a distraction or the media was going to be more fascinated with whoever else was talking, whether
he
it was Waugh, Briere,
or
Luongo. He's making the calls, and he clearly had a lot. He's got the autonomy. Like, Molson came in and said, you figure it out. You know, you decide who you want to bring in here. And he brings in Kent Hughes, who doesn't have any executive history, but, again, has been around the game for a long time. And I'm wondering what this is going to mean for what they end up doing with this team, because the Habs are – this is as ugly as it gets in their history. I don't think they've ever had a season that comes close to resembling this.
And they want it now. Like, don't you think you want it?
But that's the question, Noodles. Now, okay, if you've embraced it, and you do now because the season's over, there's no point in picking up any wins.
Next year's gone too, Hayes.
That's what I'm saying. Now does it get into scorched earth territory? Is it time for them to say, you know what, anyone we can unload, we got to unload, short of who we want to keep like Suzuki or Caulfield.
Right. But if you look at it, like, Carey Price is at a reset. Like, now the knee, now it's, they're going to re-heal it. Like, that's, you know, there's no Olympics. Like, they're not bringing Carey Price back this year.
No, of course not. But I'm saying, I think they might be thinking, we got to get rid of Carey Price. Petrie's got to go. And let's bring in Johnny. Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How would you handicap the chances of the Montreal Canadiens, their front office, coming to that conclusion, Johnny, that they're going to be awful for 3 or 4 years, awful, scorched earth, get rid of everything, and do you think that would be embraced in that market?
I think I would, better than 50%. Like, I think that is the likely outcome, because while they made the final last year and deserve full credit for it, this team's not that good. They weren't that good last year. They were like 18th in the league. They're mediocre at best. That's with Carey Price playing. So they're not going to win a Stanley Cup that way. And if you want to win a Stanley Cup, which presumably is the goal of any organization, especially one that maybe can withstand financially some darker times, then you probably would be well served to go down that road. I think the fans would be okay with it. You know, if there's an articulated plan and we're going to embark on it, they'll get behind it. The challenge will be, how do you do that when you have Josh Anderson for 5 more years and you have Christian Dvorak for 3 more years and Yoel Armia for 3 more years and Petrie for 3 more years? Like, that's the hard part. Like, Carey Price for several more seasons. You can say you want to do it. You want to strip it down, bare bones, bottom out. But to shed those contracts, Brendan Gallagher, Carey Price, like, that's not going to be easy to do, because I think a lot of those guys are probably not providing excess value on their deals anymore. So that will be the challenge for the new management team. But I think that's probably the direction they should go and probably will go.
But that's the thing. Like, those are good players. Like, that's like, Josh Anderson's a hell of a player. Like, he's had an injury and an inconsistent year. But, I mean, he's a great player. I don't mind him at $5 million.
So was Ryan McDonough back in the day. But Gorton said, you know what, he's kind of at an age where he's a guy that we can get something for and we got to move on from.
Well, that's, I'm saying, like, those are good players you're talking about. Petrie had a terrible year. But I think if you go scorch earth, you've got, I mean, Mike Hoffman's got 2 years left on his deal. This is a 35-goal scorer. Like, you're kind of in between. If you have to go scorch earth, you're moving a lot of guys, not just
okay, so
one
Noodle,
or two.
Do right. you think, and you know, I'm not, there is no right answer. You think you could take the trade Josh Anderson no problem for a good return of young players and picks?
I don't know. I mean,
I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think so.
I think you can. I think
I've watched him for 2 years. Like, you know, he's going to get you 22 goals and 14 assists. He makes $5.5 million.
Yeah. You know, well, the problem is the term too, Johnny. It's
absolutely.
Like, if there was this year and next year, you'd be like, oh, that's juicy. But you're
absolutely.
Like, man, I don't want to live with the fourth and fifth.
But the one thing that comes with Josh Anderson, he's a different type of player. Like, you're looking at stats. He's a big, strong guy too. There's a premium that comes with the physicality. A guy who can fight. A guy who can be a great penalty killer. Like, there's different things. If you're just looking at statistical things, like, oh, goals and assists. Yeah, it's a 20 goal scorer for $5 million a year. That's a pretty good. That's not a bad. It's not a bad contract. The length of it is bad, but the player is a good player.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him for 2 years. I've seen him in Columbus. He has flashes of brilliance. No question he brings some of those physical intangibles, but that's a lot of intangibles for 5 more years. Anyway, to me, like, Brendan Gallagher, he's been an amazing Montreal Canadian.
Right.
You have to respect all that he's done, and, like, he has sacrificed his body for that team. He's got 5 more years at 6.5. He's 29 years old. Can you move that contract? I don't think you can. Like, I don't think you can just, like, say, hey, give me a first rounder for Brendan Gallagher. Like, even,
no.
Or take nothing. Like, I think you almost have to take a bad contract back, given where the cap is, given how all the teams are so tight to a cap. the age is the term. This will be the challenge if they decide to strip it down. I don't think, I personally don't think all those guys are easy to move.
Well, no, they're not going to be. You can't expect to get rid of every single guy we're naming here, you know, and get right. legitimate value back. Like at some point, I'm sure you could pick a couple and say there are certain teams that would respect what that player brings, and maybe it's not the complete value that Gorton would want. But what Gorton does have, and what Kent Hughes would have now as the new GM, is you've got Bergevin still as a shield for I think a minimum year or two, where you can just say, go look up capfriendly.com. Like, go look it up, because these guys are locked in on dirt, on deals, and they're expensive. You know, like Drouin's got 2 years left. Now, Drouin, he's had issues in terms of his personal life, in terms of just finding right. the moment in Montreal, but it hasn't worked for him. Anderson's locked in. Hoffman's locked in. Dvorak's locked in. Armia's locked in. Yeah, I mean, Petrie's locked in. David Savard's locked in. You go down the list, Gallagher's locked in. It's a long list. Toffoli's locked in. Edmondson's locked in. Like, who isn't locked in? Did Bergevin give a 1 or 2 year deal to anybody? Or did everyone just get a 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 year deal?
He went Oprah Winfrey. Year for you and a year for you.
Sherrod's the only guy, really. I mean, Sherrod's the guy who would have value at the deadline.
He's an easy trade to make.
But Savard, you could trade too, I think, even at that value. I don't know what
UFAs. But that makes sense. That's easy. I think you could probably trade Tyler Toffoli quite easily. You probably could trade Joel Edmondson if he was healthy. I mean, he hasn't played this year, right, Joel Edmondson?
Yeah.
He's flat a back. His dad just passed away. He's gone through a lot. But he's not played one game. So, yeah, they are – it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I'll be very curious, though, to hear what the press conference sounds like tomorrow in, you know, what is the vision? Because – for the longest time, it's like, just get us in the playoffs. We have Carey Price. We'll take our chances. And last year, that's exactly what happened. Carey Price was awesome for 3 rounds, and they got to the final in a weird year. That doesn't feel like a sustainable idea, especially as everyone's getting older. So what's the vision? Why was Kent Hughes hired? What were his ideas that separated him from the other candidates that made more sense for the Canadiens? I'm curious to hear that.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. And yeah. You're not going to – everyone isn't going to go, and I don't think that that's wise. And I think that's what you're saying, Noodles. Like, there's some guys you're going to want.
Well, I'm just saying it's a big job because you're – like, my point was it's a big job. Like, if you just go scorched earth, like, I think they're – this is the team that's lost the most man games, the most COVID, most everything. Like, you have no idea what this team is because the event haven't had a chance to play. But they're not as bad as last place in the team – last place in the league if they had all of their players healthy. So what are they? If they're, like you said, MJ, if they're an 18th, 16th place team, if that's not the vision, so do you have a garage sale? Well, it's tough to move out, you know, half the guys on those deals. So there has to be almost what Gorton may have done in New York. Hey, we're going to scorch earth it, but it's a reset, a retool, and maybe be aggressive in certain areas and be aggressive moving players out in other areas.
Well, and you also got to pick who's my Chris Kreider that I'm sticking with.
Right.
Like, who's my guy that guy's going to score me 35 when we turn this around in 2 or 3 years?
Right.
And right now, because everything looks so awful, you can't find it. You know,
right.
Like you look at every player on the last place team in the league, you're like, that guy's terrible, that guy's done, that guy's awful. And that's
right.
not the truth. That's not reality. That's, you know, so that's the determination that has to be made. And it's not going to be an easy one.
Big job.
And again, Bergevin, you got that shield for like a year and a half, maybe.
Yep.
And then it's going to be like, okay, what else you got? You know, we're not living off that anymore. You've been here for a while, Jeff Gorton. What can you say?
Yeah.
What can you bring to the table?
What can you do? Or what have you done? You know, you can only say we were painted in the corner for so long before you got to figure out a way to get out of that corner. But the fact also that Kent Hughes got a 5-year contract tells you that they understand it's going to be a little time before it's all kind of straightened away to kind of unravel and then build back up. So, I mean, you talk about, though, just to get a sense of perspective, the leading goal scorer on Montreal Canadiens has 7 goals. 7 goals. We're halfway through the year. So it's, you know, Jesus. Everybody has struggled. Everyone's had a hard time, and no one has looked as good as they actually are. So you will be selling low if you try to sell.
Yeah. That's for sure. That's where the Habs currently stand. But if they end up winning a lottery, that's going to go a long way too. And that can add to some positivity. You get into it, you win it, you draft Shane Wright. You're in it for a couple of those kids next year with Bedard, the Russian kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, then things can turn maybe in 2 years. And I think that fan base is probably bracing for that.
Drafted Montreal, too, this summer. So wouldn't that be something?
Hopefully we're there.
Hopefully we're there.
Yeah.
We're going.
Nice?
We're making our way there. We have to by July.
One way to another. You'll be there.
We got to be there. And if you're lucky, you draft the McDavid, you draft the Draisaitl, and then you get in arguments with the media in 7 or 8 years. And that's maybe what will be the future in Montreal. So let's play this, Johnny, because we played it about an hour ago. It's new audience. I know you've heard it, but Jim Matheson, longtime scribe out in Edmonton, and Leon Draisaitl, they got into it this afternoon. Let's play the full clip. We'll come back and we'll get your response to it.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
Well, I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yep.
We're good. We're good. Moving on. What do you make of that whole scene, Johnny?
Okay, I got a few thoughts to unpack here. Okay, one, like, I know Leon a little bit. He's actually a bright, kind of articulate, open-minded, thoughtful guy. So I think, you know, his terse response shows how frustrated he is. He has no obligation to give long-winded answers. Like, he was obviously not in a great mood. I don't know if there's a history between Matheson and him. Felt like there was, because the first question that Matheson asked seemed okay, except a little bit leading, like, almost like, can say the goaltending. Say the coach, like point, right. Like sewer someone, and for him to say we have to get better at everything, that's actually a good thing to say, because you don't want to single out any individual or coach or area, or our depth forwards have to score more. Like, then he's a bad leader as well. So I don't mind the first response, that kind of being short, we have to get rid of everything. But then pissy is not a good word for any question to be used, but I also don't mind media pushing back on players. Like, I think a lot of times players know that the media are kind of beholden to them. They want to curry favor with them, and they're not very often asked maybe a secondary question or follow up. And maybe it wasn't pissy, but like, you know, you seem to be short today. You know,
it's none of his business, though, Johnny.
Where's it coming from?
Is he stupid? Does he not know that they've been losing a bunch and they've been sitting around not playing games? What is he, dumb? Like, why are you pissy? Why do you think, Tim? Because we haven't won. We haven't won.
James.
Right.
James.
But I think you could ask that question and get that from Leon in his words. That's what you want to hear. Like, you obviously know the answer, but you're saying, you know, explain to me, like, how are you feeling with how the season's gone on? Like, you're trying to get out of his words. The answer is obvious. But the way he asked it, I don't quite agree with, but I don't mind going back at a player. If the player gives you a crap answer, ask him again. I don't mind that from the media side. But the everything, probably not a great look on Leon's side. Some frustration kind of bubbling over on both guys. I think both probably could have handled it better. But I don't mind, like, players do not owe the media long-winded answers.
Right.
Or, like, you know, expansive, like, you want to give them nothing? You can give them nothing. I'm only here not to get fined. You don't have to give them anything. But I also don't mind the media guy pushing back. But they probably both got a little bit personal there, and it was no longer kind of a professional, albeit. Even if it's a tense, short exchange, it should still kind of stay professional, and it didn't on either side.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some context. I shot a few notes out there to people who were on the call. Apparently, like, that was Matheson's, like, fourth question. Like, it wasn't like, apparently Leon gave him a long-winded question, the
right.
First question. And then Jimmy kind of doubled down, and then by question three, it got terse. So,
yeah.
You know, again, like, I didn't like, I didn't like Jimmy leading him, but I also didn't like Leon going, well, you know everything too.
Right.
So it got personal, so then now I got pissy. Like, that's the thing. I don't like to describe saying, well, why are you so pissy? Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're going to take this to the mat here and get ugly. You can see the frustration.
Deja vu out there, though, isn't it? Like, there's frustration on both sides. And the journalist is not supposed to show their emotion.
Right.
You know,
they have to keep it above board. That's the kind of their responsibility as the professional. I will say this, Noodles, I did the same thing. I'm like, I sent some notes out there. I'm like, what is going on there? Am I missing something? Like, that seemed to escalate very quickly. But so what I gather is that, you know, some of those media members, and maybe Jim Mast is one of them, he's trying to take a hard line with Leon or come back at Leon, but they don't do that with the coach. They don't do that with the management. So you want to ask me, like, what's the one thing we're losing? Then you got to ask Ken Holland, like, how come the depth players you signed have been so bad this year? Don't ask Leon to say why they've been bad. Ask the guy who brought them in. Don't ask, like, you know, don't ask Leon to say why our goaltending can't, you know, hasn't been good enough. Ask the guy who brought the goalies there why they're not good enough. So I think that maybe is a little bit of the root where, you know, they ask Connor and Leon, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? And they can't say, well, our team's not that good. Like, our team's not good enough beyond us, right? Because that would be a selfish teammate thing to say. But I think there is some growing frustration of that. And maybe that's where some of the background is, like why that kind of got hot quickly, because they think they're getting asked these kind of direct questions, but maybe the people who should be getting asked them are not.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's the problem is Ken Holland only speaks every once in a while, right? Like he spoke last week.
They kind of asked a couple questions, but there was not like, you know, pointed follow-ups. You went and got Duncan Keith for his leadership and play. Has he provided the leadership and play that move was thought to bring in? Like, ask him, like, you know, ask him. You, Mike Smith was 40 years old. Did you need to give him a multi-year deal? Were you worried about his age? You know, but like, ask him. Ask him straight out and make him give you an answer and not just talk about, you know, the back in Detroit dealing with this, that, and the other. I think that's where some of the frustration is coming from.
Well, and I said it earlier, Johnny, I've seen this script play out. It played out in Toronto for a long time where there was always animosity, there was always bitterness, there was media going at players, fans throwing things on the ice, and it always became this three-ring circus between the players, the media, and the fans, and it always omitted the front office, who I believe is actually responsible for the frustration, where, you know, I know it's going to happen in Edmonton. People are going to say that the media is running Leon out of town, you know, or the fans are running McDavid out of town. Ken Holland and the ownership are going to run them out of town if it's going to happen, because the goaltending isn't good enough and the team isn't good enough. That's not the media's fault. That's not the fans' fault. If you can't build a winner, what are they into season seven? McDavid's into season seven, and they're currently on the outside of the playoffs looking in. So talk, you know, look up. Don't look out. That's the issue right now.
And I could see where that would be frustrating. Leon just has 3 years left on his deal. And Leon, as I was saying, you know, when having spoken to him, like, he won't feel kind of compelled. It's a good old Canadian boy playing in a Canadian city, to do what's right. Like, I'm not saying he's there, but it would not stun me to have him come up and privately say, it's not happening here. I am on the biggest value contract in the NHL, and we can't put a team together that allows us to compete. Because as you wonder, you make such a good point. When a team struggles, is it because like the players are absolutely underachieving or not trying or not engaged, or is it the fact that maybe the team's just not good enough? And if the team's just not good enough, whose fault is that? Who bears that responsibility?
Been saying that forever, and they thought they addressed it. Zach Hyman bringing in guys that could score in depth, and it's just a gong show again. That's where the frustration comes in.
Well, let me add, how do you evaluate a team when you don't have 900 goaltending?
You can't, Jamie. You can't.
But who brought the goalies in?
But I'm just saying, how do you evaluate anything when you're not getting average, like, if players lived up to their capability? We just talked about it with Montreal. Like, their lead goal scorer has 7 goals. You would expect more out of Mike Hoffman and Caulfield and whoever. Like, they've had a derailed season. I'm looking at Edmonton. How do you break down Hyman's season, where Fogle has fit in. You know, Derek Ryan, all of these guys, if, you know, Duncan Keith's productions, Cody Ceci's numbers, like if they're not getting what they would expect as far as, you know, average or better than average play in certain positions. So it's hard to evaluate a team when, because you can look at other teams and go, man, the goaltender, yes, the goaltender's part of the team, but if you have good goaltending, it masks a lot of some of the deficiencies.
It's the biggest issue out there, without question.
Right, so, I'm not laying, like, it's easy for me to go, well, you need more saves. But it is a big part. It's the biggest part in hockey, and your team has to help you out from a structure standpoint. But you need saves. I went through their last 15 games. Their goaltenders have been outplayed every night. Here or there. Like, I watch Toronto every night too. Jack Campbell gives his team a chance to win when it's needed. That goes with confidence of the group. So when you look at evaluating teams, I look at Jacob Markstrom in Calgary. If Calgary has an off night, that he's capable of standing on his head. He's that good. So you're right. It's roster construction, but where are they? What is that team when they're capable of playing average or better? That's the question.
Well, I just say this, Noodles. You're right, especially the confidence part, because when you win games, even if you play poorly because the goalie, like, everyone feels a bit better about himself and they sustain it. Right. But if your job is to evaluate a team and like, you have people that can do this and filter out the noise of a goaltender. Like, you know, guys may be on for more goals against than they should, but if it's not their fault because the goalie's not playing well, like, I can do that. I can watch a team and I can dig in the numbers and I can do a relatively accurate job of who's playing well and who's not, independent of the goalie's performance. Now, confidence is a bit of a tricky thing. That's harder to maybe quantify.
Right.
But I think you can do that. And if you did that with Edmonton, I don't think it would end, well, the goalies haven't been good enough, so that other than that, we're totally fine. I don't think that's where it is.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying it's, you know, I think Matheson, coming back to Jimmy, like, he was leading the witness. He was like, he wanted Leon to go.
Him to sewer somebody.
I need our power play. I need this. Like, he wanted something and he didn't get it. And, you know, Leon got pissy and that's where we are.
And then
right
he
now.
Got pissy. They both
and
got
then
pissy.
And he got pissy. They both got pissy.
It's just a pissy match.
Pissy situation.
It's a pissy situation. It's not a good scene out there at all. We'll leave it there, Johnny, and we'll do it again later this week. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. David Faraday will join us in just over half an hour. Chris Johnston in about an hour. Confirm or deny coming up. A little Fergie action. Nice. Paying homage to Fergie down in Arizona. Shortlist in Montreal just missed out. Confirm or deny next.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2022 UX250H all-wheel drive premium package from just $228 biweekly for 39 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. I don't know who writes these every week. I don't know why this would be suggested, considering everything we've been through this afternoon. I feel like this might cause a bit of a stir, but I don't write these. I can't confirm or deny where this comes from. So we know the way this works. A statement is made, we go around the table. Confirm or deny, if the Oilers miss the playoffs, if the Oilers miss the playoffs, Connor McDavid should demand out of Edmonton.
This
deny.
Is ridiculous. Deny.
It's
but I will say
question.
This.
Whoever
they
who
missed the
road. But you're
I'll
Jim
talk
Matheson.
To someone. It could
Jim
be.
Jim Matheson.
It could be.
I will say this. If they don't make the playoffs this year, and I've said it the last couple of years, and people from Edmonton hate my guts for saying it, maybe one of the two say check, please. Who knows? You talked about it. Hey, 7 years, nothing cooking. Maybe Leon says, I don't want to be here. I don't know. Maybe that happens. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's going to happen. No. Maybe you saw him frustrated today. Guys want to leave. Guys want to play somewhere else all the time. Maybe he doesn't want to play there if it really hits the fan and they miss. It's an option. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say deny. I mean, there's how many teams, like we always say that with McDavid. How about go and make your team make the playoffs? Be the difference maker. Did we say that about Ovi in Washington? Did we say that about Matthews in Toronto here? Well, they lost in the first round.
They make the playoffs every year, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think like, missing the playoffs is pretty substantial, let's be honest here. Like this guy in his missing the playoffs. The Matthews conversation is 100% legit in the playoffs. 100%. Right. Now, he's got to own it because he didn't play that well. Right.
Well, but, all I'm saying is that not every star player has to leave their team when they don't have success. Like, that's my point. You know, like, there's star players.
Doesn't
they don't have to, Jamie, but maybe they want to. We live in a world now where guys just say, I want to play somewhere else.
Yeah, I guess.
They do it all the time.
Grass isn't greener every, you know, you choose to get traded and never know. You get traded to somewhere that isn't going to be a winning team, too. You know what I mean? Can't handle those salaries, that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll deny the should. I would confirm a could, though. I'll give you a could because I do think, I mean, you guys scoffed at this yesterday, but this should be a big legacy year for McDavid, and the Olympics are not available to him. So that hits. And if they miss the playoffs, like that stings, like beyond belief. Now, we're not there yet. This is all hypothetical, clearly. But he's into his seventh year. The last 2 years they made the playoffs, they were out in the first round. They got swept last year. Right. It has not been good for a while. Like it hasn't been a big step. But I don't think he should because I think you're riding with Leon Draisaitl. You got Hyman there who's a guy you wanted. You got Nugent Hopkins. You know, I think we've all addressed it. If they could find a goaltender, then I think you're probably in a different situation out there in Edmonton. All right, moving on. Confirm or deny. Swinging the other way in terms of positivity and always good things here in Toronto. Auston Matthews will hit the 60-goal mark this season. Confirm or deny. Believe he's on 60. Pace to do it now. Real close anyway.
I'm going to say deny. I think he gets 50-ish, 55-ish or something. Who knows? It just seems like there's so many things that are going on. And it's just recency bias and a pessimistic approach to this question because of all the stuff that's happened in the past. Looks like he was going to score 70. Something happened. Season paused. Looks like he's going to do this. Season short and only 56 games. So I'm going to give him 50, 55 plus, Hazy B, but not the 60.
Okay. I'm denying, and I just want him to get 50. Because there's always this on pace to and all of that. He hasn't gotten there yet, you know, from an actual achieving it. So I don't care if he gets 60. I just want him to get 50 because he would be the fourth Leaf in history to do it. Because, I mean, yeah, on pace and all of that, you're right. He can't control COVID, the shutdown, but he's had injury issues. He's had injuries that have, you know, taking some games away from him where maybe he was going to do it. And I just want him to get 50. So I don't care. I'm going to deny it, but I want him to be 50 plus so that he gets into that elite club that he belongs in with the Maple Leafs.
I think you're right. I mean, technically he has not done it. He hasn't been afforded that luxury because of what's happened the last 2 years.
Right.
He has not hit a bull number of 50. That's crawling. Walking beyond that would be 55. That's a new team record. That's passing Rick Vive, who's got the team record of 54 in a season. Sprinting is hitting 60. I'm going to confirm it the way this guy's cooking right now. He's got 42 games to go. 42. He's currently got 25 goals. So that means he needs 35 goals in 42 games. Not many guys in the league can look at that and say that that's doable. Maybe only one. But I think it happens to be him. The way he's going. Now, he's going to have a couple of hat tricks down the road. He might have to have the final week where he's looking at it and he needs like, you know, 6-7 goals in the final three games and he's got to find some empty nets. But I think they'll be feeding him down the road. Marner's back on his wing. It's asking a lot. 50 is much more reasonable. 55 is asking a lot. But this guy is on such a heater right now. I think he's the best goal scorer in the world. 35 and 42. How off pace is that from what he did a year ago? It's probably a little bit hotter than he was last year. over the course of that
couple
full 56
factors,
game
things
season.
Tighten up, intensity tightens up, ice mm-hmm. shrinks up a little bit. Just a NHL veteran's perspective. Go ahead, Spencer.
Right. Yeah, he's got 25 goals in 33 games right now. So you extrapolate that, we'll see. All right, moving on here. Confirm or deny, one of the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl?
No damn way. No damn way. Because you know why? There's a 45-year-old man down in Tampa that just wins. We've seen it in the past, all these highfalutin teams, fancy stuff, Mahomes, Rodgers, Sean McVay and his brilliance and his game planning. And TB12 just gets it done. And Joe Bowen and his goon sons, they think that guy out in Green Bay is going to do it this year.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
No way.
I'm denying it because of that. Because I think it'll be either Tampa or Green Bay. So that's... I mean, Kansas City, obviously, and Buffalo. I mean, Carlos' head would explode if they won. I don't know what he would do. We'd have to, like...
Oh, my God. He won't be at work for a month.
Yeah.
Buffalo wins the Super Bowl. He doesn't go to work for a month. Can you imagine what did Pierre look like when Dallas was destroyed the other day? Like, how down was
he? He was in a good place. Yeah, that was... How about everyone crying with 4, 5, 6 minutes to go in a one-score game?
Dude, what is that? I don't think I would, as much as I love the team down the street, there's no tears. I go home and I sleep well at night regardless of the outcome. This is my job right here. I don't cry. There's no crying.
There's generally no crying. I guess I'll give you a cry, but like the first game, it's one thing if it's an underdog story that ends in a Super Bowl and some crazy defeat.
Or
overtime.
Dude, if you brought your kid that became a fan and a diehard at like 12 or 13 and they started
grown
crying, you'd be like, hey,
men
don't worry.
In face paint that have been buckled since 6 a.m. crying with 4 or 5 minutes to go in a one-score game. That's what I didn't understand. Like, okay, the clock runs out. You're walking out of there. You're like, it's the end of the season. I'm emotional. I can't believe it. Your team still could have come back and won. You can't redeem yourself after a cry. If you cry and your team comes back and wins, you should be booted from the stadium and kicked out for life. Like, you cannot redeem yourself from a cry when a game is still ongoing. I mean, come on.
Tough. And Bonesy's mad at me saying his sons were goons, those Green Bay goons. You're a part of it too, Hazy.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the Packers here. I'm gonna deny it as well, just based on the field. I mean, the sexy picks are Buffalo and Kansas City, and it's an obvious pick, and I'm not blaming anyone that would suggest they'd go with that, but they're going to have to probably go through Tennessee, and they're probably going to face, I think, Green Bay in a Super Bowl, and I like the Packers the way things are going right now. All right, this gets back to another conversation we had earlier this hour. Confirm or deny, the Montreal Canadiens should begin a scorched earth rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Benning,
scorched
earth.
Fire it up. Start pouring the gasoline around the locker room and just drag bunt it like Otis Nixon drag bunt right out of the Montreal arena. Just gone, everything. What else are you going to do?
Otis Nixon. I like it.
I'm denying
it. He can drag bunt Hazy. Otis Nixon knows how to.
Didn't work for him in 92.
But, well, he could drag bunt.
He could, yes. He loved it.
I'm denying it because I think Gorton will have a vision of to what he did with the Rangers. You say, hey, we're going to sell some pieces off. If he sells one piece, Carey Price, everything looks like scorched earth, but you work with what you have and then add to it. You've got money to play with. He might do the Rangers model, which is, I don't think that's scorched earth. That's retool, on the fly type of thing, what he did with the Rangers. That would be my unofficial guesstimation of what he's thinking there, is use some of the pieces he has for picks and in trade. But if he does one thing with Carey Price, that's 10.5 off the books. Now you start looking at something different. I don't know if that's called scorched earth. I think it's more of a
I think it's more than that. Yeah, you scorched earth means like 4 or 5 guys on term that are vets or 100% out. And as we established earlier this hour, I don't think it's easy to do. I'm not sure it's possible to do, to get rid of all of these long-term contracts. So should confirm, will deny. I think you're probably right, Noodles. I think it'll be more of a retool on the fly yeah. and try to unload two or three. Pick your poison on who you want to keep around that you think can be a part of the winning culture
exactly.
moving forward and build from there. Final one, confirm or deny, Jared Goff would have won last night's game for the Rams. Jerry Goff.
100% confirm it. 100% confirm it. If you look at the body of work that your boy Matty Stafford did last night, it was nothing earth-shattering.
No.
He had that one kind of cool throw to Cup at the goal line, but I don't know.
It was efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't do anything stupid.
Wasn't Dude, Jerry Goff is my boy forever, so I'm going to 100% confirm it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm confirming it too because it wasn't about Stafford
no.
or Goff as much as it was about Kyler Murray.
And I bet you 80% of head coaches.
I'll confirm it too then.
Yeah. 80% of head coaches, Hayes, if they don't have Patrick Mahomes, they would prefer it like that. Just manage the ball and don't be stupid. Do some things that are extraordinary, but.
Especially if the other team is handing it to you.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
You get too many teams that think, yeah, we're up 21-0, but we got this sexy play in the playbook we've been working on. Don't do it. Run the ball. You know, kill the clock. And Jerry Goff can kill a clock. You know that.
He can.
So confirm. Confirm it. There it is. Confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2022 IS300 all-wheel drive premium package from just $248 biweekly for 39 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. David Faraday, NBC golf analyst, co-host of Faraday. He hosted Faraday on the Golf Channel forever. He's with SiriusXM. He's on Twitter. He's former player, one of the great personalities in sports. He will join us in about 20 minutes, and Chris Johnston still to come, our TSN hockey insider, in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we're day two into this snowstorm. I think we're going for the record. Why not 3 days? How about tomorrow? Just 3 days. Shut it all down because schools were closed again today. We're still figuring out how to get people's cars out of parking lots. And
they're doing it tomorrow again?
My understanding is the Toronto District School Board is looking at it tomorrow. I don't know if that's been official yet. I don't think it has been. But they're looking at maybe day three of at least shutting the schools down. And you don't see that very often, you know. What's going on around here? Come on, let's go. What? Toronto, Ontario, we got to figure
this
out.
Maybe they're just like, it's
email.
A built-in thing where it's like, okay, we didn't really want you to go back, so just stay at home for a couple of days and then go back.
Could be.
Well, I got an email saying kids are in school tomorrow.
Okay.
Where I
there
live.
Go.
So
All right.
they're All going
right.
back
like
to
it.
School in my area. But...
Support that. Yeah, I mean, at some point, come on. Like, we got to,
exactly.
and I'm not just talking about the schools, I'm talking about the city. I saw John Tory today was speaking like, we got to figure this out. I'm like, we've had snow before, guys. We're 2 days in. You know, I know we're living in a different world, and maybe some things have been put aside and we haven't been paying as much attention to it because of COVID just overtaking our worlds. But society's got to move on here. We got to get cooking.
I agree.
Scotty Barnes, you see that dunk last night? And he goes into the first row, like behind the net, and runs into this woman who was drinking a beer. And I have so much appreciation for this woman because I always get concerned in 2021 that someone's going to think, all right, they ran into me, I'm going to hit the deck, get the stretcher out, where's the neck brace so I can maybe, you know, sue Scotty Barnes of the NBA.
Right.
And she got barreled. Like, this was a big dunk, and it was being chased down. It was a great play by Scotty Barnes. And they couldn't possibly stop. Like, the momentum was just on, and she just kind of afterwards gave the thumbs up and I think was kind of laughing about it and was all good, and you move on. And that's what can happen when you're sitting courtside in the NBA.
Dude, one of the most bizarre things I think I've ever seen as far as fan interaction NBA is Raptors at Warriors, and the owner slaps Kyle Lowry when he falls on him. And he's not allowed to sit courtside. He's part owner of the team.
Right. Yeah, they basically kicked him out of the league. I believe he sold the shares.
No, he wasn't. Oh, really? I know he wasn't allowed in the building for like a year.
Oh, they kicked him out and suspended him. Like, the league immediately was like, you're suspended for quite some time. But I'm pretty sure he sold off he was a minority owner. I think he owned 1.5% of the team, couple percent of the team, but would have been worth a fortune. Like, down in the Bay Area, anyone that's got a percentage or two of any of those teams is a billionaire. and he was a billionaire. And you're right, Kyle, there's nothing Kyle could do.
No. Nope.
He was going for a ball, and he fell out of bounds. He tried to brace himself. He fell in the lap of the guy. I'm not even sure he fell in his lap. I think it was his wife's lap. And then it was a push or a kick. And see
it
you
was
later.
The goofiest little, like, flick or hit or something. And it was Kyle acted all pissed. And the guy was done. It was crazy.
He was out. Yeah, yep. That was the end of the road for him. Let's look that up, because I feel like about a year later he sold out. I think he just – and I'll bet you he made a fortune.
He probably made a
ton of money based on whatever he invested in that team. Hour three coming up. David Faraday will join us, one of the great golf commentators, just media personalities, period. He's going to be in town on June 7th. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into a number of things with David. And Chris Johnston will join us as well, our TSN Hockey Insider at 625. Hour three coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.